No guessing what I'm going to talk about today. If you recall, it was in probably sometime in April, I did a politically correct episode basically saying that, you know, signals from Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Home Minister Amit Shah were very clear that Karnataka Chief Minister B.S. Yedurappa would have to go. It has taken 3-4 months. It has happened. It was looking inevitable even 2-3 months back. So not that I have to pat my back in celebration, but the fact was it was so very obvious then. It was just a matter of time, which has happened. Yesterday we heard B.S. Yedurappa basically announcing his resignation. And while his successor, the discussion on the name of his successor is happening there in Bangalore, Dharmendra Pradhan is there, things are happening there. So let's come to the point which we discussed earlier, this high commandist culture in the BJP. But I'm not even talking about this high commandist culture. We have spoken about this, and actually yesterday our editor-in-chief Shekhar Gupta did a very comprehensive cut the clutter talking about this high commandist culture, not just in the BJP but in every party actually. So you can watch that episode of the cut the clutter. What I am going to talk about today is, you know, why Modi and Shah, the Prime Minister and the Home Minister, why they are doing what they are doing. The answer is very obvious, that they are going for a generational change. But then many people would argue that how are you throwing out leaders with mass base? Why are you undermining them in your party? And we have seen it happening, not just in one state, in many states. So Yedurappa, we saw every step of the way, right since he toppled the JDS Congress government in 2018 with the help of Congress JDS defectors, he has been struggling. He won't be getting appointments in Delhi. He won't be getting his choice of ministers. So we have seen him struggling. Things were very clear. In Rajasthan, again, what we are seeing, we are talking about Vasundhara Raje, again, another BJP leader with a mass base, a regional satrap. We saw only a few weeks back, one of our confidantes, an MLA who is close to her, Rohitash Sharma was expelled by the party for so-called anti-party activities. Basically, signaling is very clear that Vasundhara Raje, again, you have to keep your flock together and don't really allow them to criticize the party leadership. So just be alert, because Vasundhara, you know, for the last 2-3 months, she has not even been attending party meetings. We have probably discussed it earlier. What she is doing is, for COVID relief work, for instance, she is doing her own things without involving the party. So things are very clear. While the BJP high command is looking at a replacement, BJP high command is looking at, you know, possible names, say a Gajendra Singh Shekhawat, for instance, who has been brought to Delhi as a union minister, or some other names, as the Gen Next leaders who would be taking over the reins of the party or who would become the face of the party in Rajasthan, Vasundhara Raje has been defiant. So we saw what happened to Rohitash Sharma. Yedurappa, we have been talking about what has happened to Yedurappa. Again, Raman Singh, we talk about another leader with a mass base, somebody who was the chief minister of Chhattisgarh for 15 years. Only, I think, 10 days, 12 days back, D. Purandeshwari, the BJP general secretary in charge of Chhattisgarh, she was in Raipur, and there she declared that in the next election, there will be no chief ministerial face. What exactly she said was that, you know, the chief ministers, the name of the chief minister will be decided, or the CM candidate will be decided after the elections in 2013. Virtually ruling out Raman Singh, because somebody who has been the chief minister for 15 years, I mean, he would be the natural choice at your face in that election. To say that, no, we will decide it after the elections, you know which way it is heading, and the message is very clear to Raman Singh. Now, talking about generational change, you know, aging leaders have to retire. They have to retire gracefully, that's a fact. So Yedurappa is 78, talk about Vasundhara Raje, she is 68. Raman Singh is 68. So naturally, you cannot really fault the BJP high command for trying to replace them, for replacing Yedurappa, and for trying to look for their successors, the next leaders. Question probably would come where, you know, the manner of delivering this message and the manner of getting rid of these leaders with mass base. I mean, you just don't dispense with the leader and prop up somebody just like that. And there is some element of high commandism, I would say, in this also, because Shivraj Singh Chauhan, again, we all know how he teamed up with Jyotiraditya Scindia to actually topple Kamal Nath government. He managed to form the government, but he has been struggling since then. Many leaders who are known to be close to the party high command, say somebody like Narottam Mishra or Kailash Vijayawardene, they have been targeting or they have been doing their own things against Shivraj Singh Chauhan there. We saw for weeks he was the only, he was a one-man CM. I mean, he was a one-man government basically. And then every time he has to basically reconstitute his team, he has to go to the high command. So things are not very, it's not hunky-dory for him in Madhya Pradesh either. So while I was talking about, you know, some element of high commandism, I'm saying, okay, fine. Yadurappa is 78, Vasundhara 68, Raman Singh 68. You want to go ahead, pick up some other younger leader in place of, say, Yadurappa or Vasundhara Raj. That is understandable. But then, why is Shivraj Singh Chauhan being sidelined? Shivraj Singh Chauhan is just 62 years old. And if he is being sidelined, what about, say, somebody like Manohar Lal Khattar? He is also 67, 68. Nobody is looking at his successor. And Manohar Lal Khattar, as we know here, he was very close to Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who was then the, you know, in charge of party affairs there in Haryana. They used to stay in one room, and whenever Narendra Modi visited Haryana, he would stay at Khattar's place. Khattar would cook khichdi for him. These are things which you know, I know, everybody knows. So if Khattar's age is not being counted as something, you know, as something that needs to be looked into, there is no discussion about Khattar's age. Why is the discussion about others? And others have are mass leaders. Khattar is not. Shivraj Singh Chauhan is 62. I mean, how he has still quite a few years left in, you know, as a politician, as an administrator. Why he is being undermined there? There are many questions, but what we are discussing here today, or what I intend to discuss today is, you know, what kind of impact this will have. Because a section of BJP leaders will tell you, you know, that it's the party which matters, not individuals. And the mass base you are talking about, mass base of a particular leader, is largely of the party, not of that individual. Although they also agree that, okay, in the Prime Minister's, Prime Minister Narendra Modi's case, it's different. So if you read this British author's book, The Modi Effect, I think Price is the author. So in 2015, when the book came out, I got a copy of that and I read Prime Minister Narendra Modi's interview to that author. I think Lance Price, he was the author. And in that interview, the Prime Minister was very clear that in 2014, people were looking for a trusted man, not a party. Basically saying that people were looking for him, not for the BJP. So people voted him to power, not the BJP to power. You know, in the Sangh Parivar has a lot of issues with personality cult. RSS don't like personality cult. But then somehow it has, you know, some, it isn't accepted fully that in Modi's case, personality cult is there and the Sangh Parivar has to accept it because he has become the tallest leader. In other cases, however, like when you talk about Yadurappa's personality cult or Rajya's personality cult, you know, at the state level, at the regional level, I mean, that the party is not ready to accept. Fine, so you have gotten rid of Yadurappa, you plan to get rid of other regional satraps also. What kind of impact will it have? The question I raised earlier. Now let me look at some numbers. So, you know, on the one hand, BJP leadership believing that it's the party's votes, so you may be a popular leader, only Modi's popularity counts. Others actually basically are the beneficiaries of the BJP's popularity, or in some cases maybe Modi's popularity. So in 2018, for instance, BJP did not do a great job. BJP lost, but it managed to get a very sizable number of seats in Rajasthan Assembly. And then again, that too was attributed to Narendra Modi. Anyway, so let's come to the point. So when we are talking about the impact, now look at Yadurappa. If you look at the BJP's vote share in Karnataka, since 1980s, so Yadurappa became the state BJP president in 1988. BJP was quite a kind of fledgling outfit in Karnataka then. But then onwards, look at BJP's vote share in every assembly election. So let me read the votes, how it has gone up. So for instance, if I recall it right, in 1989 election, BJP's vote share was 4.14%, which went up fourfold, which went up to 17% in 1994. And then let us see what happened in 1999. Yeah, so BJP's vote share in Karnataka, since Yadurappa's ascendancy, I would say, because in 88 he was the state BJP chief, 4% in 1989 election, 17% in 1994, 21% in 1999, 28% in 2004, and 34% in 2008. The trajectory is going north, constantly 89 onwards. First time there is a dip in the BJP's vote share, that's in 2013 election. By then, Yadurappa had formed his outfit, KJP. He had quit the BJP, formed his outfit KJP. KJP contested elections also. And although the KJP's vote share was, I think, 9.79%, roughly 10%, BJP's vote share came down to 20%. So from 34% in 2008, it came down to 20% in 2013, with the KJP, Yadurappa's outfit, taking away almost 10% of the votes. So that was the first time since 1989 that you saw the BJP's vote share dipping compared to previous elections. Then again, Yadurappa comes back, Modi brings him back, BJP is back now, BJP starts getting 36. So in 2018 election, for instance, BJP got 36% votes. Again, that ascendancy has started. So you cannot really rule out Yadurappa's contribution to the party. He is a tall leader, and you have seen how important he is. Once he leaves your party, your vote share goes down drastically, and as long as he has been there, it has been going up. So we don't know what is going to happen in Karnataka now. Let's see. I'm sure BJP high government must be thinking of picking up somebody who is capable enough to keep that trajectory moving northward. We'll see. Let's have another case study, say of Rajasthan. So Vasundhara Raje, again, she's a tall leader, she's a popular leader, no doubt about it. And actually, I was covering her Parivartan Yatra in 2003 in Rajasthan. The kind of, you know, in 2002 she came, and the way she managed to actually, prove herself as a mass leader. Her Parivartan Yatra then was a huge success. And that's when she became a mass leader. That was 2002, 2003. From then onwards, now some people would quibble over this. Even before that, BJP was pretty solid in Rajasthan. And they have a point. In 2003, for instance, BJP got, say, a 39% vote. And that was the first time that the BJP had a majority in Rajasthan Assembly. First time ever. BJP got 120 seats out of 200 in the Rajasthan Assembly. So even though Bhairav Singh Shekhawat was a stalwart in Rajasthan politics, nationally also, was a big, big leader, BJP could never get a majority on its own. It was under Vasundhara Raje in 2003 that BJP got 120 out of 200 seats and formed the government, and BJP's vote share then was 39%. But some people may do some hair splitting that, well, in 2003 it was 39%, but in 1993 also, 10 years before that, BJP had got 38.60 something, over 38% votes. So there is hardly any difference in terms of vote share. So that means that BJP was already there in the when Vasundhara Raje arrived in Rajasthan, took over the reins of the party. So not much difference. But look at this, 2003 onwards, once Vasundhara came, then okay, let's accept that fact, 38, 39, not much of a difference in 10 years. But the way she kept the party growing, or she kept the party afloat. So I'll be looking at the party's vote share in elections that the party lost and when the party gained. So for instance, let me read out some figures for you. So whenever the BJP lost the election, say 1998 BJP's vote share was 33%. 2003 BJP won, 2008 BJP lost, but again BJP's vote share remained at 34%. Next election BJP lost, BJP's vote share was 39%. So even in losses, BJP's vote share was growing. And we are talking about a period when Vasundhara was dominating the scene in Rajasthan as the tallest BJP leader. When she won, say for instance, in 2003 she got 39%, in 2013 She got 45%, 6 percentage point more than what the party got in 2003. So obviously, you cannot really discount Vasundhara factor in Rajasthan either. Then the big question comes, why is the BJP high command pushing it so much now if you have some popular leaders there? We have discussed the need for generational change. Fair enough. But what happens? What if these leaders quit? There I'll give you some examples from our political history, like why BJP high command may be feeling confident. See, if you look at Kalyan Singh, Kalyan Singh was the Hindutva face in Uttar Pradesh, you remember. He was the chief minister when Babri Masjid was demolished. Then of course President Sugan and all that we all know. He was such a big leader, but in 1999, he left the party virtually lambasting then Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee. Because what had happened in 99? In 98, BJP had got something around 57 seats in 98 Lok Sabha elections. In 99 Lok Sabha elections, however, it came down by about half. I mean, I think it was 27, 28 seats only that the BJP could manage to win in Uttar Pradesh. That was when Vajpayee decided to replace Kalyan Singh as the chief minister. Ramprakash Gupta was brought in, and Kalyan Singh flew off the handle. He started berating Atal Bihari Vajpayee and finally quit the party. He formed his own party. But then again, he might be a big, tall leader of the BJP, the Hindutva face in UP. But what happened when he quit the party? I think it was RKP, Rashtriya Kranti Party, I suppose. That was in... So after he quit, he formed this party, and this party performance, you know, Kalyan Singh fielded 335 candidates in 2002 assembly election. It could get just about 3.5% votes. On the seats contested, I think the party got about 4% votes and just 4 seats. So it just fizzled out, and the rest is history. We know how Kalyan Singh came back to the party, again he quit, again he came back. That has been on. So basically what I'm driving at is, you know, a tall leader like Kalyan Singh, when he decided to quit the BJP, he couldn't survive. He had to come back. Talk about Uma Bharti. Uma Bharti, she had led the BJP to victory in Madhya Pradesh in 2003. And then we know how there was this arrest warrant against her in the Hubli riot case. And then she had to quit as BJP chief minister in 2004. Later on, 2 years later, I mean, she fought with the BJP high command. She wanted Shivraj Singh Chauhan to be replaced as CM later and herself to be installed. That didn't happen. She quit the party. She formed her own party in 2006, I suppose. Nothing happened. We saw the BJP winning the next two assembly elections. So despite Uma Bharti being there, BJP won the 2008 assembly election, 2013 assembly election. So Uma Bharti actually became irrelevant. So about 5 or 6 years after she had formed her own party, she returned to the parent party. So that has been the history of rebellion against the party by some tall BJP leaders in the past. Yadurappa is a different case. So if you go into history, if you have these examples those of Kalyan Singh and Uma Bharti, you also have an example of Yadurappa, who actually pulled the BJP down when he quit the party. Now it's up to you. We don't know which way it is going. So high command, the BJP high command, seems to be looking at other examples. Detractors in the party may be looking at the Yadurappa example. But anyway, when such tall leaders, if they decide to revel, the party will suffer. But then we all know, we are just assuming that there may be rebellion, they may be quitting the party, but that may not happen. We have heard what Yadurappa has been saying. He'll continue to serve the party. He sees his role for the next 10-15 years in the party, in promoting the party. So he may not do what he had done in 2012. He will stick around, and if he sticks around, if the BJP is able to get his successor and bring stability also, it will be the success of the high command, and it will be a very successful transition of power from the older generation to the younger generation. What happens after Karnataka, whether the BJP goes to Chhattisgarh, BJP goes to Rajasthan and forces it the way it has done in Karnataka, though many of you may quibble that BJP High Command has not forced, but we know what has happened. Anyway, so what the BJP High Command is going to do next in other state will depend very much on what Yedurappa decides to do, say a few weeks, a few months from now. But if High Command succeeds in keeping things stable in Karnataka, you will see many things happening in other states sooner than later. That's all from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thanks for watching.